You're usually the analogy guy. How about you come up with an analogy?
Analogy about why you shouldn't feel shame?
Why you should press the record button or the save button when you're recording a podcast. It's kind of like when you fill in the blank.
It's kind of like when you're recording a podcast and the other guy in Germany's gotten up really early. And then he doesn't, you don't hit record. And then you're do the show and there's no show. You know?
It's kind of exactly like that.
That's all I'm saying. Hello and welcome to, well, it says episode 30, but really it's episode 31 of the Two Hosers Photo Show.
That's right.
My name is Alan. I'm in Tübingen, Germany.
Should I say my name now?
If you like.
Usually you say with me as always.
Yeah. I was going to say, okay, as always, I'm Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and after the awkward silence will be...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
All right, that's excellent. So what's going on, Adam? Let's first address the numbering. This is it's getting really crazy with the numbering of the episodes right now.
Right. We had episode 29, and then we had...
I called it 30.
No. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I messed that one up. That's what I'm saying. I called it 30.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Then we had episode 30, the actual episode 30, which kind of was an abbreviated episode on account of my mistake in forgetting to record the episode.
Well, it wasn't abbreviated. We did the episode. We did
That's
the
right.
full thing.
That's right. We did a full episode. It just wasn't recorded. So the episode that we actually posted was a shortened version because we didn't want to sit through and record the entire episode over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Immediately. But we're doing it now.
Yeah. So now you're getting the full deal. And this has been rehearsed because we already did it last week.
That's true. Oh, that's terrible. So we've done a dress rehearsal on now. Now we're going to freight train it. This is going to be the Autobahn.
Well, and all your stories last week that were boring are going to hopefully be spiced up. I hope you've added to them.
Yes. added to them? Oh, quite the opposite.
Okay. Subtracted from them?
Subtracted from them, yeah.
Okay.
I've deleted major parts of them.
Well, I thought maybe you just added details that were more interesting than the actual stories.
Okay, moving on. What did you shoot this week, last week?
So I'm answering as if this was still last week?
No.
Okay, this week we went to this weekend anyways, the family went to a maritime, I don't know what you call it, festival.
Sure.
At the shipyard in Richmond. So yeah, there was kind of some neat old boats and lots of kids' crafts and activities. So yeah, we did that and we took pictures. Kids got face painting. Kids always get face painting. So there's always a face painter at these little festivals. So there's that. They got to make boats, little wooden boats. Your dad would have loved that.
Mm-hmm. And
they had like 3-piece little, you know, wooden boats that the kids got to hammer nails into to make their own little boat. Oh, and just a note for yourself as a parent of a young child. As that child gets older, there's probably an appropriate age that you would hand them a hammer and hold the nail for them. And I would say that age is older than 2, because that's what me and Jack tried.
Okay.
He's a loose cannon with the hammer, so.
Oh, so he had the hammer and you had the thumbs.
Yes, I had the nail, and I pre-hammered it 1 or 2 knocks so that it was impaled, but still... that hammer was like, the fair where you swing that
whack-a-mole?
No, I was thinking the giant mallet over the shoulder, you know, get all your body momentum into it. Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
On your thumb.
Well, I didn't actually make contact. I jumped out of the way, but yeah.
Okay, good tip. Good tip out there.
So there you go. It's not only photo tips.
Not only photo tips. Hammer tips.
So we took pictures of that and then Sarah at the playground, and then we did make a trip into Vancouver to the beach as well. So we had beautiful sunshine all weekend long. So just different pictures in and around Vancouver. How about
I did like the face painting one. There's one in particular that I resent you just so you'd know what I was talking about.
Yeah, I saw, where she's looking into the mirror and she's smiling.
Just sheer excitement.
And in love with herself. That kid is in love with herself.
Yes, that's what girls do, I think.
I'm not experience. Being a girl, I'm not sure, but definitely she appreciates herself in the mirror, especially when there's face painting.
Obviously. Well, face painting is the greatest.
Yeah.
It's very popular here as well.
Okay.
And you know it's very popular here as well with the face painting? Seems to be Die Schmetterling. The butterflies are very popular here as well, cross-cultural.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I would have never thought girls and butterflies.
Yeah. Girls and, I guess, ponies look kind of weird on the face.
Yeah. Yeah. The mask effect is kind of cool, too. She didn't even ask for that. And that's, like, basically the same face painting job she gets done all the time. They're just right. Like, oh, and would you like pink and purple? You look like you would like pink and purple. And it's like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Her eyes light up.
So, awesome.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Well, more baby pictures, of course. Actually, just took a few yesterday, family portraits of ourselves, of me and my dad and the daughter. I just keep thinking I haven't actually revealed her name on the show yet.
Really?
Yeah. And now I'm hesitant to do so. I don't know why. Well, it's like a thing.
Can I do it?
I guess. I don't care.
Is it Moopsie?
It's yeah, it's a family name, so we went with Moopsie. We're going to go with Edith, but...
Gertie.
That might have been it, actually. I'd suggested that. Because I wanted a name that no other kid would have, and that'd be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to actually say Gertrude, but because you can go either way. You can go Gertie when they're young. You can go Trudy when they're older.
I got everything.
It's a good one. And anyways. So, yeah, we took some pictures. We took some pictures three generations, which isn't nearly as impressive as, like, with my wife and her family because each side we can go four generations. Yeah, I took some of those. Took some other baby pictures for somebody else where I was hired to do.
Is that the one? That was the one where you had trouble.
Yeah, I actually went back and finished the job.
And the baby behaved the second go around.
The baby behaved, yes, but also I ramped up my shooting speed considerably. Like I was moving really quickly between setups. So I took my flash. It was all off camera flash stuff. So I was setting up lights, and it was quick.
But you obviously knew what you wanted.
I did. I knew what I wanted. I had an idea. When I go in, oftentimes I'll kind of scope out the internet. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
And see some similar pictures, like pictures that I happen to like, or some sort of similar theme. And I'll put them on my iPod, and so I'll know going in, okay, I'm going to get something similar to that. So let's try to, I'm not going to say copy it, but be inspired by it and go, okay, I like this, and this is something else that works well. So I'm going to kind of emulate that style.
Okay.
So that's the iPod, big help for that. So we did that, and then last week my dad and I went to Munich. And uh-oh. So, yeah, no, this is the short version.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad had never been to Munich before, so we got in a car and popped on over. It's like when you go to Seattle, except for it's not Seattle.
Right, but distance-wise, it's similar.
It's about the same. I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure what the distance is. It's about a two-hour trip from here.
And there's no space needle.
No space needle. There's no border either. Like, you don't have to hit the border and wait in line.
Oh, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus. Plus, the speed limit is probably considerably higher than on the I-5. What's the speed limit on the I-5?
Well, it's done in miles per hour, so I always get confused. But I'm going to say 100 miles per hour ballpark.
100 kilometers.
No. Not, maybe it's a 90 miles per hour, something like that.
90 miles per hour on the I-5.
No? Is it faster than that?
Are you serious? You've been to, you go to Seattle like four times a week.
But I'm trying to do the conversion because there's for the Americans, I don't know, kilometers, because it switches over, right?
Yes, it switches
over. I don't know. I'm doing roughly 110 kilometers probably for the most part, but that's probably slightly over the speed limit.
Yeah, you're probably doing 110. I bet you the speed limit's 65.
Is that miles?
Miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, so the you're conversion.
Probably, you're probably going... yeah, you're probably doing roughly 110 kilometers. So the speed limit on the Autobahn in some spots is actually 120 kilometers where there's a speed limit. And then after that, there's as fast as your car will go.
And are people just absolutely zipping by?
Yep. It's exhausting. The Autobahn is awesome on paper. Like, if you're a kid and you're thinking, oh, man, I want to drive the Autobahn one. You do want to drive the Autobahn one day. It's pretty awesome. Until you get out there, and it's so exhausting. Because you'll be going along in the middle lane, you know, doing a good clip in a family car, going like, you know, 190. And, you know, it's you're doing well. You think you're flying. Until you see somebody in some Audi coming up the left lane, and they're doing a good 240.
How many lanes are there?
It varies. Sometimes only two. Depends where you are in the country. Usually three. Like a lot of spots have 120 kilometer limits when it's like two lanes and stuff like that, or during certain hours when it's likely to be busy.
And what's the range? Like, are you getting, you know, when there's no speed limit, are you getting people doing 100?
Yes, sometimes you do, because there's a lot of there's still trucks like semi trucks that are hauling stuff.
Yeah,
you get those, and they're still going about 120. And then you get the occasional, especially now, like an RV. They have RVs here, and so they will go slow. So you kind of have to dodge them in the right lane. And then, so you're kind of in the passing lane, is the middle lane, but they want you to keep right as far as you can. So you're kind of, like I said, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of balls in the air there.
Right.
And so you, when you pull out to pass, not only do you have to watch up the road, like if you are going along at, say, 180 or 190, you have to kind of watch pretty far down the road because everything comes up on you pretty quick.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, you have to also be able to judge those headlights in your rearview mirror. How fast is that guy going? Can I pull in front of him? And oftentimes the answer is no. So
sounds like fun.
It is a lot of fun, actually. Not good on gas mileage, though.
No.
So
you get there quickly, though.
You get there. You do get there. That is pretty awesome when you have somewhere to be and you can just basically go as fast as you possibly can. So... yeah, so there's that. But so I shot a bunch of stuff in Munich. Shot a bunch of stuff with my iPod in Munich.
How come?
My camera broke. No, that's not true. That's not true. My lens broke.
This is on the D40.
This is on the 40D. Well, it is on the 40D. My kit lens, my 17-85, it's kaput. Not fully. So if anyone out there experiences this as well, I love that lens. I was even recommending that lens as a, you know, if you wanted to buy a pretty decently priced kit lens to walk around and beat up, that was the one. Mine stopped working, however, because apparently there's a little cable in it that after a while can break.
You said this last time.
I did mention it. We mentioned it last time, so I'm just going to expand on it. I'm not.
Oh no, don't! It's broken.
I'm not going to expand.
You're never going to get it back.
So yeah, so I shot a lot with the iPod because I was ideally I was going to take that lens and shoot walking around Munich because I didn't want to carry a bunch of lenses. I didn't want to carry a bunch of cameras or a bag or anything.
You were just wanting to live and love life.
we were going to enjoy taking the pictures, just enjoy Munich.
Okay.
So my theory was I just wanted a couple snapshots of me and my dad.
Yep.
And so therefore, he took his point-and-shoot, whatever that is, the little 6-megapixel Canon something or other.
Yeah.
And I took my iPod. And I actually really – I had a really good time with it, even though the iPod pictures are not awesome. Have you noticed that?
I don't use it much for pictures. I do use it for video.
And, yeah.
And I find that in decent lighting conditions, the video looks pretty good, but I haven't used it for many pictures.
In decent lighting, it is pretty good for video, but the pictures are of a similar quality.
Yeah.
A little bit less even, I think. But I got what I wanted, got the snapshots I wanted. You could roll the cool thing with the iPod Touch is snap a couple of pictures, you know, right downtown, and right downtown happens to be the Apple Store that gives out free Wi-Fi. So I could just snap a couple of shots and share them with my friends and family immediately. Here we are in Munich.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I know people do that with their iPhones all the time, but this was free, so. So I did that. I handed out business cards to people.
Two Hoser's cards.
I thought, you know what? We're not just going to spread over the internet. I'm going to get cards made up and just hand them out to random people.
Sweet.
So whenever I saw somebody holding a camera, a DSLR, who I tried to figure out if, I wonder if they speak English. And if they did, boom, they got a card. The best part was I spent the entire day walking around Munich wearing the exact same shirt that I had on in the picture in the card.
Did you pre-think that one?
Nope.
Just that's you have 6 of those shirts?
No. I just happened to be wearing it was my CBC shirt, the one from our website.
Right.
I just happened to be wearing it that day, and I felt like kind of an idiot.
I think that's so cool, man. You're dressing up for handing out cards. It's
yeah,
marketing 101.
Yeah, branding. So there's that. And then I think I mentioned it last week that some girl from Brampton, or no, Hamilton, made fun of our branding.
Yeah, something about she didn't like the font and the drop shadow and all that, right?
The font I take issue with because it's kind of – I like the font.
I agree. The font is cool.
She said I did not need drop shadow, and she also laughed at my use of a gradient in the background. So Dorothy's probably right, though. She seemed to know what she was talking about.
So you've been working on a new prototype?
No.
Okay.
Well, wait. I'm not going to do anything about it. We're there, man. We've got it done.
Okay.
So that's Dorothy from Hamilton. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for being honest.
Thanks for your feedback.
Yep. And her friend, remember her friend's name?
No.
Jessica?
No.
Rebecca.
Yes.
It was Rebecca. She was from Brampton. She had a question about...
You know what? I have to interrupt you right here.
Yeah.
You said Jessica, and then you mistook the name, and the actual name was Rebecca, right?
Yeah.
Those were the two names that my mother was going to name me if I was a girl, Jessica or Rebecca. Isn't that
really
freaky that you mistook those two names?
That is weird.
Yeah. Well, anyways, continue.
Not as freaky as you telling me the you're almost a girl story.
If I were a girl.
The best part was you didn't get the name Adam until you were 5, when they were sure, okay, it looks like, yeah, he's going to be a boy.
I was Rejessica. So you had, finish your story, something about...
Anyways, we had our first live in-person question.
Okay.
The two Hosers had a live question, as if we had a live show, but there was no show going on.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to deal with that question right now. Maybe we'll deal with it during listener questions at some point.
Okay.
So let's get right into the photo challenge.
Okay.
And I mean, first of all, Rajessica is not sitting here waiting for the answer. I actually answered it live. I didn't tell her, okay, just hang tight. Go ahead and keep making that mistake for the rest of your trip in Europe. And when you get back, listen to episode 30-something. And we'll answer it.
Well, that was very kind of you.
Yeah, no, I answered a question right there.
Okay.
Yeah, so this week's challenge, what was the challenge?
Make a postcard.
Make a postcard.
Yeah.
Okay, and where did that come from?
I don't remember. It's been ages now.
It's been like four weeks.
Sometimes things just pop into my head. I don't remember. There was probably a reason. What did we do the week before that?
Magazine cover.
Yeah, it seemed to be along the same lines. I know I kind of might have ripped your idea off a little bit, but I just thought postcard.
I liked it. And we hadn't discussed that ahead of time. You just threw it in there, and it was great. And one of the reasons is, it ties in nicely with making good photographs, because generally, postcards are pretty good photographs.
I agree.
I don't often buy postcards, though. But I try to go to those spots and actually take those pictures myself, which you can never do, because it's always ideal lighting and shot with a helicopter and, you know, all these different things.
Yeah.
But what is it about postcards that tend to strike you?
That's a good question. I don't think I've ever really bought a postcard, so I don't think I'm probably the best qualified person to answer that question.
Okay, well, let me go get my dad in here.
Okay, is he a postcard connoisseur?
And he loves them. I don't think he's ever bought one in his life either.
Yeah, I don't even have one of Seattle.
Wow, I'm going to send you one.
Okay.
Yeah, along with your speeding ticket for going 200 miles an hour on the I-5. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, officer, you don't understand. I'm bad at conversion, and it's for a podcast. Perhaps you've heard of it.
And then, you know what? If I had a business card to give him, we might even have another listener.
You have to wear that same shirt, though. Huh? You point at the shirt, huh? Check it out. That's what I do.
It's the uniform.
The uniform. It will be your Canucks shirt.
Yeah.
You'd have to wear. So let's have a look at the postcards first. I'm going to vote myself to go first.
Okay. This is backwards because I think in our dress rehearsal I went first.
Really? I thought it was.
Oh, maybe I'm mistaken.
yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyways. Okay. Well, mine is in Munich.
Yeah.
Taken with my iPod.
Yeah.
And it is of the main city hall in the main, it's the old city hall in the main square area called Marienplatz, which is like this big famous building where the Glockenspiel show happens. Right above the eye in I Heart München is part of the whole Glockenspiel.
Okay.
Which, you know what that is?
I've heard of it, but...
Okay. We'll move on.
Yeah, I don't really care that much.
So yeah, so that's what this is.
Okay, no, I like it. I mean, as far as a picture taken on your iPod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I think you did a pretty good job. I definitely saw it before I recognized it was taken on your iPod, and I thought, wow, this one, I expect more. This one kind of blows. That was my first impression. I was like, and then I looked at, because I think you had deposited another one in the box for me to look at, and that one blew even more. So I guess this is the better of the two.
Yeah, I suppose that's one way to look at it. Did I mention that my lens broke?
Yes,
that
you
was
did.
Why?
No. I think I think you did a pretty good job considering the tools at your disposal. The only thing I thought again and. Obviously, there are limitations to using the iPod as your camera. It was just that, I wish that there was more of that building in the picture.
I agree. And rather than cheat and send, because I actually have a bunch of wide shots of this building that I've taken on previous trips, but I did not feel like cheating on this one.
Okay. Well.
And so I did not send those. But you're right. A lot of the postcards would have. Wide shots, and I could have got back further, but I kind of wanted to frame it with the I Heart München license plate or whatever they're going to call that.
Yeah, and I like that part.
Out front in the square is like a souvenir shop where you can buy all the crap that you need to buy.
Yes.
So whatever Clark Griswold would buy in European vacation.
Yes.
That's where you can buy it. some good stuff too, I suppose. But they actually had postcards. But once I saw that I Heart Moon Can, I thought, okay, that's going to tie it all in. Because that building is very famous. And if you know Munich, you know that, like, you'll know what that building is. But if you don't, then you need to tie it in somehow.
Right. But if I had been to Munich, I probably wouldn't want to send my friend or family member a quarter of a picture of that building.
You don't know that. The rest of the building is all modern and new.
Oh, that's weird. That's the nice part of it.
But just to talk about actual photo stuff, what is it like in this and others' postcards? What would you say stands out? What grabs you immediately?
I think the sky.
That's exactly what I think. And we're awesome. We're tied for being awesome.
Did you touch that up? It looks pretty blue.
Nope. No, this is a. Well, I might have messed with the levels a little bit, but there's no tricks on this. It was actually a blue sky day at that point. That changed later, but it was a blue sky day, and that's what I wanted to do. Was when I framed my picture, I wanted to make sure there's a lot of bright, pleasing colors.
Yes,
because when you're in the postcard business. It's like any other business. You want to move a lot of units.
Right.
And so what you want to do is catch everybody's attention as they're walking by. Buy my postcard. Buy my postcard. Buy my postcard. That's what it's going to shout out, right?
Right.
And so you want to catch someone's eye, and that's the way to do it.
And I think you accomplished that. And I think that was a good logic for having that I Love Munchen in the foreground there, because – I think that's a nice touch.
Oh, thanks very much.
Yeah, so.
Let's have a look at yours.
All right.
I like yours.
I like mine, too.
Yeah. let's talk about yours. What is your, we're looking at the bike picture here.
Yes. So that was taken about a block from where I live. There's a nice dike that runs along the water where people ride their bikes, and it runs all the way along Richmond, basically towards Vancouver. So it's just it's a popular thing to do, is to ride your bikes along the sort of marshy dike trail. And I just, you know, went out at sunset, and I sort of hid in the bushes in a sort of creepy camouflage suit and took pictures of bikers as they went by.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, to me, this does actually capture part of Steveston that is one of my favorite parts, but isn't sort of portrayed in all the touristy stuff, in all the tourist literature.
I agree. It probably is one of the more popular things to do, but I don't think I've ever seen it postcarded previously.
Right. Yeah. See, you can go sell this down there. They sell postcards in Steveston, right?
Yeah. There's a little shop that has all the postcards. So I'm gonna go check.
And mostly, when you said you were gonna take a postcard, I figured it was going to be a fishing boat.
Yes, and I did take a couple of those, but then I didn't think it was that unique or special. So those weren't keepers. So this was. I like the sunset. I liked the framing that I was able to get there, and I wanted to have the mountains all there in the background. So I like the way the grass in the foreground kind of pops up in silhouette. So yeah, no, I was just happy with how it turned out.
Yep, great example. I do love the mountains myself. I miss the mountains a great deal. The coast mountains, and that would be probably Cyprus off in the sort of the right area there.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah. We don't know what the speed limit is on the I-5. I'm not taking your word on which mountain that is.
It's probably a smart
idea. Sure that's Everest. Everest or K2. I'm not sure. K2.
Kilimanjaro.
They're all still, they're both so close together, I can't tell. McKinley. Could be McKinley.
It doesn't really matter. It's a mountain.
How many mountains can we name? That's going to be the episode. Mount St. Helens.
And I have to say, I used your little Photoshop trick, and I grabbed the color out of the bottom of the sunset there to use for the lettering.
We did not talk about that on the lost episode.
No, but on your episode before that, the magazine episode, you used that for your yellow. So I thought that great little tip. So I just used the color grab tool in Photoshop, and I just snagged a piece of that sunset color and then used that as the font.
I wish I had noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's roll back. I'll cut it and I'll pretend I noticed that. No, that's why I do that is, part of when you want an eye-grabbing image, I find that if you have too many distractions, it's no good. It really doesn't help you move a lot of units, right, as we said earlier.
Right.
And so in order to keep things consistent, I like to try to make my font match the colors in the image. So, well, like Adam just said, you use the color chooser, selector,
yeah,
eyedropper, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Go and find a nice color in your image and select that for your font and then place it over a darker part like Adam's done here, and it works out perfectly. So great job, man.
Thanks.
I also like very much where you put the horizon line, very low in the picture. That's always kind of the rule, is you never put the horizon in the middle, and I do sometimes, it happens. But this is a great example of having a lot of basically negative space in the top, which is really going to come into play later on when I tell you my criticism of you, and that this is going to just throw it right in my face.
Okay.
So, also, I like the fact that you see just enough of the bicycles to know they're bicycles, but you didn't feel inclined to show the entire wheel and the entire silhouette. You see enough to know it's a bicycle, and then you move on.
Thank you.
All right. That's enough. And then I'll figure out some ways that you disappoint me later.
Okay, but I win this photo challenge, right?
Hands down.
So that's a lot of wins for me.
It's a real win-win for you. But you did take this with your kit lens, correct?
I did, yeah, for a change of pace. I've been trying to shoot more photos with my kit lens, so it just gives me a wider range. So I think this was probably about somewhere in the range of between 25 and 30 millimeters I used, instead of my typical 50 millimeter prime. So it gave me a little bit more mountains to work with.
Super.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Okay.
This week's topic
is
top 5 bad habits, past or present.
Okay, I'm
so
ready.
What that means is, you. I wanted you to pick. We each would pick our own, what we thought were our 5 worst bad habits that we've overcome. Or maybe we still do now and then. So let's talk about those.
Okay, so who's going to go first?
You're going to go first. Go. Number 5.
Okay, and this actually goes along with what we were just talking about, but in something that I'm overcoming. But basically, I'm trying to use my kit lens more, because I think we've discussed on the show, one of the things I've kind of been stuck on is the 50 millimeter lens, which is a great lens and gives you pretty sharp pictures and a narrow depth of field, but it also can be pretty limiting. So I'm trying to step outside of my sort of comfort zone and take some with the 18 to 55. Obviously, you don't get the same depth of field, but I can capture wider shots. So I have to say one of my downsides has probably been to just stick with what I know. So I'm trying to get away from that.
Nice. And it worked out well here. So, all right, number 5. I didn't say that before yours.
Yeah, so this is for you now.
I'm just going to announce my own, and you can do your sort yourself out.
Okay.
Alan's number 5, orange. Little Vancouver joke there for you. No? Nothing?
Look it up. Yeah, I know it.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't want to laugh in case your wife heard the show. I don't understand what he's talking about.
It's a gentleman's club.
It's, I'm not saying you'll bump into Tommy Lee there, but if you were to bump into Tommy Lee in Vancouver, maybe it'd be there.
Good chance.
Anyways, my number 5, my top five is lazy white balance. I get lazy. I'm not the only one who does this. I know quite well that a lot of people, once you start shooting raw and your white balance information is not baked into your picture, it's really easy to just sort of forget about it, just to neglect it and say, you know what, I'll fix it in post.
Which is what I do.
Which is what you do, but you shoot auto. I don't shoot auto. I always set my white balance.
Oh, okay.
I'm really specific about it, but if I'm moving from inside to outside, I try to do it be the first thing that I do. Like change it for, you know, from incandescent to daylight or something, whatever we're doing. But if I miss, I don't pout about it because I know I can change it, you know, in aperture later.
Right.
But that turns into – that creates a real lump in your workflow. And so you end up having to do a lot more work. Having to change all the white balance and the color temperature becomes a bit of a pain.
I agree.
And so I do try to get it right. And I come from a white balance background. When shooting video, we're constantly white balancing because you can't – I mean, you can color correct later, but when you're shooting video, you really want to get it right in camera. Or get as close as you can because you don't have the flexibility that you would do when you're shooting raw. So I do have a good background on that, and yet still it kind of slips away sometimes. So I'm getting better at it. I'm focusing hard on making sure to get the white balance correct.
Okay.
Number four, Adam.
This, again, I think goes along the same lines with what you were just talking about, but take it a step further. In general, I think I just spend far too much time tinkering in post-production software, whether it's white balance correcting, sharpening, cropping. I think I should spend more time just trying to get it right in camera, and again, just less time overall fixing things and just potentially tossing something that needs to be fixed in every which way.
Do you have any idea how much time you think it would take you to tinker afterwards versus getting it right in camera?
I would say it's taking me probably 10 times longer.
Ooh, okay. Maybe you need to get faster at tinkering too then.
Yeah, it's all sorts of things that don't need to be tinkered with that I'm still experimenting with. So yeah. I take it once I've finished an aperture and doing that stuff, then I'll take it into Photoshop and play with it there. And so, again, it's unnecessary stuff, but it's also for my own learning purposes. So I'm getting more and more creative in Photoshop. And so sometimes I'm just doing it for the sake of my own learning. But overall, mm-hmm. I could certainly cut out a fair amount of tinkering.
Yeah, oftentimes, like when I'm budgeting for jobs for video or for photography, and part of the job is post-production, I have like a basic sort of formula that I deal with, and that your basic post-production, you can typically expect it to take three times as long as it took to shoot.
Right.
So if you're out in the field for 4 hours, you can expect at least, even if you're doing very little post-production work, you can expect 12 hours of post-production. So imagine if you're doing a lot of tinkering, what that means. So yeah. Rather than go out and you know, I guess what you're saying is by getting it right is a very small investment in time versus when you get home.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, Shakespeare, let's move on. My number four, tight framing. I come from the whole idea that, you know, you want to fill the frame, and I try to exclude anything that I don't want, that I find distracting or whatever in my pictures. But oftentimes I forget to leave a little bit of extra room for matting it for a frame. Like if you're gonna put your picture in a frame on a wall,
right?
You want to leave a little bit of room so the mat can fit over top, or so it can fit in the frame just right without clipping off someone's, you know, the top of someone's head or something like that. So that's something I'm getting better at. I'm getting better at imagining what I'm going to do with that photo.
Okay.
Okay.
I have my number three.
Yeah.
Is unpleasant backgrounds. So I have a tendency to sometimes pay little attention to what's going on in the background of the photo, get caught up in what my kids are doing and think, oh, here's a cute shot, and then take it and realize, Oh, hey, that's a great picture of Jack playing hockey. Too bad there's a garbage can right behind him.
Yes.
So
oftentimes that, I mean, that happens. What can you do? You know, when there's it's I find it more egregious when it's a posed photo. And somebody has a telephone pole growing out of their head or something like that.
Right.
Actually, I take a series of those for fun on purpose. I have a picture of the Eiffel Tower growing out of my head, Big Ben growing out of Randall's head, and you know the Olympic Tower in Munich growing out of my dad's head. I find that very amusing. But in general, don't do it.
I agree.
So pay attention to the background. That's something that took me a little while too.
And I think maybe too, it's just one of those things that it's a laziness thing. Sometimes I think, oh, I hardly noticed that. And then I look at the picture and it looks horrible. I can't not look at it.
Right. And then next thing you know, you're cloning it out in Photoshop in 12 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. To never actually print the photo.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great tip is to pay attention to, is to try to always think about your background, especially when you're shooting with a wide angle lens, because now not only do you have a lot more background, but it's going to be in focus.
Correct.
Oftentimes with a really, you know, shallow depth of field, your background isn't as important because it's going to melt away anyways. I overexpose too much.
What number?
That's number 3.
Okay.
Well, I didn't actually number them. This is the third one I'm talking. So if you count it back, this would be the third one.
Okay.
Yeah, coming from the film background, typically when you're shooting film, be it 35 millimeter still film or you're shooting movie film, you tend to overexpose by about 2/3 of a stop. Just the nature of it, the way you want to get a nice fat negative and you want to get a lot of colors, the theory there being more information is better. So you're getting more information on your negative, and you can always print down and you get a great, great looking image.
Okay.
Now, in digital, it's kind of the opposite. And by kind of the opposite, I find it to be exactly the opposite. That you kind of, well, when you go out and shoot in the sun, you shoot with a minus 2/3.
Right.
And so I find that I still tend to worry too much about getting enough light and oftentimes can overexpose slightly. So I'm working on underexposing, bringing it down and getting nice saturated colors instead of blowing them out.
Okay.
Now, I do much better on it now, but I still don't go as far as I think I could. So I'm going to push on that way.
Okay.
So number 2.
Number 2. For number 2 for me, I have the sometimes overkill on the blurry background. So really have a hard time sometimes not shooting above 3.5 or 2.8 and really, you know, getting those nice blurry backgrounds that stand out and look great, but sometimes it's too much, and sometimes the background is really nice and I wish I had included it. So I'm definitely making an effort to try to shoot pictures with some more background focus.
Right. That's the initial thing, is because especially people who come from point and shoot, which, you know, I did as well for a while, everything's in focus. And so then you get your first prime lens. And now that you can shoot it at 1.8, nothing is in focus.
Yeah.
You really want to go the other way with it. And I guarantee you everybody does it. Because it's this newfound tool, and all of a sudden, you just want to use it on everything.
And it's cool.
It is cool. Anybody who tells you it's not cool is a liar. I loved it. And all of a sudden, now you're showing everybody else, holy cow, I can blur the background. You can't blur the background. I can blur the background. That's how I stand out. I blur the background.
Yes.
Irony being, you do not stand out now by doing that. You fit in by blurring the background because everybody's doing it.
That's true.
And a lot of guys doing it. No, wait. How's that saying go? I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I did. I went. everyone goes through the same phase. Just depends how long it lasts. Everybody shoots at 1.8 when they get that lens.
And now I find I almost never shoot at 1.8.
Right.
I'm kind of in
especially since if you're going to be shooting two people in the same shot, 1.8 is not going to help you.
Yeah.
That's difficult. So that's something I take into account. And then oftentimes I like to go and shoot at like a 5.6 because we get a nice sharp image, but also the background will be blurry enough that it's not the main subject, but we can tell what it is, so it provides context for our image.
And I agree. I'm usually somewhere in that 4 to 5.6 range.
You'll find that, yeah, depending on your lens, that's probably the real wheelhouse in terms of your best image quality. So your 50 millimeter 1.8 probably is going to look the best at f5.6. Your images will be the sharpest. Everything's going to look great. If you have enough distance between your subject and the background, it's going to blur out nicely anyways.
Yeah.
So anywhere, but again, don't rule out f4.
Love that's f4.
F4 is my usually my starting point, my benchmark, and that I'll kind of in my head I'll imagine the image being shot at f4, and then do I want to blur it more? I'll scale back to 2.8 or even all the way down if I have to, or if I want deeper focus, I'll move up from there. But that's kind of where it's important, I think, to have a starting point, a frame of reference.
Agreed.
Number two, my number two. That was your number two, right?
That was two, yeah.
All right. I've been having issues lately trusting my own instincts on exposure. I guess that ties in with overexposing too much, but in terms of me trusting the camera and trusting my instincts, I was having issues for a while where I'd be shooting images and think, oh man, that's going to be – I know the camera says shoot this, and my meter says this, and I'm metering very accurately. But that seems like it's going to be too dark. That can't be right. And so I'll shoot it again and end up coming in way overexposed. And so what we did – I ended up doing that something from a few episodes back, the no-meter shootout with Chris Marquardt. And that really helped me remember that I actually kind of know what I'm doing.
Kind of. Ish. Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to start a podcast or anything like that, but I do, and I, without the use of the camera, without trusting the camera, I kind of know where to start, and so I wanted to get back to that. So that's something I feel like is an older bad habit, but still pops up now and then. The end of that.
Okay.
And the last one, your number one, I think our number ones are the same.
Okay, mine is too much spray and pray, so it probably isn't the same.
Oh, yeah, and mine is try to be less awesome.
Oh. So as far as the too much spray and pray goes, I find that, especially with the photo challenges, that I'll often have an idea in mind, and I'll go to take the picture, but I'll shoot it from, different angles, different apertures, because I'm pretty certain that there's a good picture in there somewhere. I just I'm not sure exactly where it is, and I don't have that vision every time out in my head before I take the picture. I just have an idea or a concept in mind, and then I try to work it out on the go. So I think that sometimes gets the best of me, and again can be a time suck, because then I have to weed through all those pictures. And mm-hmm. sometimes there's 10 that are good that look exactly the same. And then I'm trying to decide, well, which one's the best of those 10? Well, I don't know. Look at this one. Oh, Lisa, look at this one. Can you tell me which one you like? And yeah, it's a never-ending storm.
The good news is that never actually goes away.
Okay. Awesome.
I mean, it gets better. I've been through the same thing, where it basically it turns into monkeys typing Shakespeare. Eventually they'll get it, they'll knock it out. But I because I find when I shoot portraits or family portraits and I give people pictures or even weddings or anything like that, I know what I like in an image, but there might be a particular moment that they kind of like. Now this image is better, but this one, this person's smiling a little bit better, so I end up having too many of those photos as well. That is my number one. My number one is shooting way too many pictures.
And along those same lines, I did my first pro photo shoot, which was actually a photo shoot I did for friends, and they paid me in cupcakes. So, but I took some family pictures for friends, and I took out the three best. I probably shot 20 pictures. We didn't go out for too long. Went out a nice time of day. Light was perfect. Took pictures in different scenarios. And I looked at the pictures afterwards. I pulled out the best three. But in my mind, there was clearly one that was the best picture. And then I said, oh, you know, tell me which one you like. And I they wanted an 8x10. So I cropped them all as 8x10s. And I said, just let me know which one you pick, just for interest's sake. Of course, they didn't pick the one that, in my mind, was the obvious choice for best picture, because they themselves had a different idea of what they wanted.
Right. So. Yeah, and they see themselves in there. And yeah. But I'm trying very hard to basically – what I end up doing is I end up doing it in post-production, like when I go sift through my pictures and sort of edit them down and, okay, throw that out, throw that out, throw that out. My move there is to edit and forget it. I try not to spend a lot of time worrying about the ones that I threw away. Like, oh, maybe I should have kept that one. And it gets really confusing.
Right.
So I go with my initial instinct and go, okay, that one's gone and never to be seen again. And you can move on. Now, I want to try to do that more in my shooting. Is I want to get more confident and say, yeah, I got that picture. Let's do the next one. I'm not even going to look at it. I know I got it. Let's go. Oftentimes what I'll end up doing is I'll be waiting for a particular picture. There's a photograph I want to take, and I'm waiting. I'm ready for it. I have my camera set. I'm in position, and all I'm doing is I'm waiting for it to happen. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, okay, but what if it doesn't happen? I'd better take a few safety shots. In case it doesn't happen, I have it covered.
Right.
And so rather than shoot a shot once and then not be confident I've got it and shoot it 10 more times, it's actually the opposite. I'm pre-shooting to make sure. So that's one way to end up shooting way too many pictures as well.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do all that in camera without messing around too much. So.
Okay.
Common problem. I think having sort of a full hard drive is everyone's kind of issue.
Just get another hard drive.
That's what most people do. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
So there you go. And do you want to do the criticism of each other? Because
well, what about your number one?
That was my number one, shooting way too many pics.
Oh, okay. All right. So
that was it.
Sorry, I fell asleep. So
yeah.
I still thought we were talking about mine.
Yeah, we'll talk about yours some more. Okay. So,
okay.
In the effort to keep this short, let's just skip that other criticism, because I'll tell you, my criticism of you was you didn't leave enough headroom, and then I look at the picture of the bikes, and plenty of headroom and awesome. So
okay.
And my, so mine is just crap.
My criticism of you was not your photography skills. It was more of your podcasting skills. And mm-hmm. I wish if it wasn't for a lot of your long-windedness, we could probably finish this podcast in substantially less time.
Like last week.
Right.
Yeah. Good call.
So
okay.
So let's just trim it up here.
Next week's challenge. What do we got for next week?
I
this is mine.
This is your turn, mine. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it says Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, if I can read the card correctly. Next week's challenge, a properly underexposed image.
Okay. I don't think I've ever attempted this.
It's one of those situations where you've seen the images before, where they look underexposed, but it just looks right. It looks like it should be exposed that way. Like your camera would never expose it that way. Your instinct would never expose it that way. You'd want to add more light to it or bring up the exposure to see more in the shadows.
And what's the trick here?
We'll talk about that next week.
Okay, so just go out there and try to make an underexposed image.
Make an underexposed image that looks like it should be underexposed.
Okay.
Like it should be exposed that way. That's the challenge.
All right.
So until then, where can people find your butterfly face pictures?
SchwartzChronicles.com, as always. And how about your stuff?
I, Well, I recommend checking those out. I really like those. There's a lot of good images from this week, and especially the one of Sarah's excitement on her face.
And it's funny that you chose that one, but Lisa did as well. That was her clear favorite as well. So, yeah, there's consensus there.
Check it out. And just an example of, I'm assuming, it was a sunny day the whole day?
No, that was actually overcast.
Oh, okay. Because the lighting conditions didn't look ideal.
No.
It looked a little bit rough.
And it was changing quickly, too. So there was was a lot of overcast by some of the later pictures. The same day we went to the beach, and those pictures were much brighter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So the picture, I will say, the colors aren't great. They're a little washed out. Nothing that you could do because of the lighting. But despite all the challenges in taking that photo, her expression overcomes all of that.
Yes, she's very pleased with herself.
Okay. So then, yes, you can find my stuff at alanetridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, twohosers on the Twitter. Join the on twohosers.com. You can find our link to our Flickr site where you can participate, send your pictures in, and we'll try to make fun of them. I've been slack lately. Anyone listening out there who's upset at me for not commenting very much, been busy.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I think Adam's done a little bit.
But, I've done some commenting.
I'm going to get on there as soon as I can. Hope maybe today. Depends how the weather holds up.
Okay.
If it's terrible weather, then I might do some commenting. But just so you know, I have not forgotten about you. I will. We'll get on there soon.
You know what's funny is that I commented on someone's photo, and they responded back, "Thanks for your feedback, Alan."
Yes.
I thought that was awesome.
I know. I did correct them, though.
Oh, did you?
I went back and corrected them and said, actually, that was Adam.
My feedback would be totally different and much, much better.
Yes, I would be much more specific. Yeah. Wouldn't say, I like paste.
Right.
Which, I like paste, though.
Who doesn't?
That's the show this week. So until next time, get out there and make better photos.